been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football for the 200th time. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, like I said, this is the 200th episode of The Call, and we're going to start it off right with the Purple Friday preview. Ravens and Bills, it's the first game of the 2018-2019 season. Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, how do we time this correctly? 200th episode, start of 2018 season. How did we even do that?
You know what? I think
it's pretty awesome.
We started planning it back in our first year before the Super Bowl run. And, you know, we just were like, all right, this is what we got to do. We got to hit to 200 at the 2018-2019 season.
Well, you know, what's funny is if you look at it like if the Ravens made one more playoff a week or whatever,
right,
we would be off. So
that's true.
It's kind of fate. But, hey, welcome to 2018. No more preseason. We actually get to cover a live weekend game here that's going to mean something for us, right?
That's right.
Tired
that's
of this
right.
Ho-hum preseason and you know, just covering what happened and that's it.
Yeah.
It's here it is. It's the big time. It means something on Sunday, and it's going to mean everything to beat the Bills on Sunday, I tell you that much.
Absolutely. But like before we start talking about the Bills, let's talk a little bit about ourselves, because 200 episodes, there's a lot of podcasts out there. I mean, thousands
and thousands.
I've
seen you grow up.
I know, right?
Grow right from my eyes, and we even got a Stanley Cup win with the Capitals.
That's right.
We've seen a couple of Baltimore Orioles playoff runs here.
Yeah, we've seen just a complete
Super Bowl covered.
Super Bowl. I mean, that was our first year.
Two Hall of Fame inductions.
Two
Hall of Fame inductions.
That's right. I mean, we've done a little bit of everything here. But it's crazy. I mean, for people that are kind of new to the show, maybe they're finding us for the first time, episode 200. You and I, we're not, you know, lifelong friends. It's not like we grew up together down the street. You know, when the Ravens showed up, we were at the first game. We met just a couple weeks before we started doing this podcast. And I don't know if a lot of people know the story or not, but it was because of Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis was doing a radio appearance. I don't know. Can you do an appearance on the radio, I guess?
Radio show appearance. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do that.
I had asked around to a couple different friends, and I'm like, do you guys want to go? Do you want to go? Do you want to go? Do you want to go? And my friends were like, oh, it's in Timonium. It's a weeknight. I don't want to do that. And I was kind of at a point in my life where I was like, you just got to do it. You know, you just got to go and enjoy things. So I went by myself to see Ray Lewis. I have a Ravens head that I get signed, a big wooden one that I get signed by players.
Up there on the wall.
Yeah. I hadn't gotten Ray Lewis yet. So I'm like, I got to go. I mean, this could be a free signing to get him to do that. So let's do it. I'm sitting at a table.
Ray Lewis and free, by the way, never happened in the same sentence.
Right.
So you might as well take advantage of it.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I want this autograph. It's probably going to be $200, if not more,
to go get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll pay way more than that, but that's just besides the point. Shh, I won't give that away.
But I'm sitting at a table for four by myself, and then you just walk up and you're like, hey, man, can I sit here? I'm like, all right, go ahead. And you and I just started talking about the Ravens, talking about Ray Lewis, and, you know, switched numbers. And then, you know, I was doing a radio show at the time, and that kind of went away, a couple of like disagreements with the same people that didn't want to come out to see Ray Lewis. I was like, all right, let's do something on my own. And I was just like, hey, man, let's do a podcast. Why don't you do that? And here we are, 200 episodes later. Happenstance, Baltimore, I don't know what you want to call it, but I mean, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty weird beginning.
It is, and it's a pretty awesome beginning because just knowing, you know, what the Ravens mean to us both, and the whole Ray Lewis story, and seeing his induction this year, and then all, it's just crazy how we've always talked about that, you know, whether you're still a part of the game or not. But I've always talked about football, especially Ravens, bring people together. It's like we're a big family. You call about the flock and everything else, but I've always said it. If you're a Ravens fan, you're extension of the family, and that just shows you that, you know, complete strangers can just start strumming up a conversation. This thing, you know, you can create a friendship over. And I've had some friends like that who I met at the tailgates in the stadiums, and then think about.
You're a very friendly dude. I mean, like, it's amazing how many friends, like, no matter where you go, and like if we're watching a Ravens game, you just start talking to people. Like, it's, I don't have that skill whatsoever. The fact that you started a conversation with me, like, if it was me that had that duty to start the conversation with you, we wouldn't be doing a show right now.
Wow. Yeah. Well, hey, I appreciate that.
That's just not
that
my style, you know? I'm not that type of guy, but you're friendly. You talk to everybody, you know? When you dress up for Ravens games, you're cool if people, like, ask for a picture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are a very down-to-earth, like, hey, let's all be friends type of dude.
Absolutely. It's the best way to be. You know, I always say, can't we all just get along? You know, we all have different viewpoints and differences in our lives, but that's what makes us unique. But, you know, it's like sometimes we agree to disagree on the show. It's like, oh, I think about this viewpoint of a game, and then you might see it differently. And just in goes by any stretch of the imagination. That's why I love, you know, just talking to people in different cultures and viewpoints, and I love it. And then not only that, but the podcast has brought not me and you together, but just think about the connections we made. You know, Rickard, you know, came from Sweden. He flew in last year and got to enjoy a football game. Just to think of all, you know, people here just on the podcast, that the fans that we've come to know through social media, home and abroad. And speaking of that, I want to give a shout out to one of our newest followers. His name's Maddie. He's one of Australia listeners and fans. Australia. Melbourne.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I want to give a shout out to him. Me and him have been talking on Twitter back and forth. I told him, I said, hey, you need to get out here for a game and scratch that off. So maybe it's in the works soon. But again, it just shows you, not only me and you, but just and just to show the impact of the podcast on how far-reaching it could be.
Yeah.
And Ravens Nation truly is, you know, worldwide. And it's awesome. And the flock always gets together. And what better way to do it than this week, man? It's, we're all going to be together as one. I don't know if I'm going to sleep on Saturday night. I'm so excited. I hope, because we're getting up mad early for some tailgates, but I can't wait, man. It felt good to actually call my friends this week and say, hey, we got to get playing a tailgate this week, and it's, you know, here it is.
Right.
And, dude, it's just a long time coming.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the first week of the regular season. We're recording before the official kickoff to the season happens.
Tonight
is Arizona
Super Bowl
and Philadelphia.
Philly against the Falcons, who is the rematch of wildcard game.
It's not Arizona. I said Arizona, didn't I?
Yes, I think you did.
I did. Atlanta.
Tried to ignore it, but yeah, you did. Yeah, it's Atlanta,
right,
which was a rematch of the wildcard game last year, which was a great game. And obviously we know the Eagles went on the win Super Bowl 52 against the Patriots. They're defending champs. They get it tonight. It's going to be great. And, you know, I can't wait to not only get through this show and get through a lot of great stuff and get to cover a Purple Friday preview, but get to really sit back tonight and relax and watch some real meaning in football, not only but the Ravens, but the NFL as a whole, and, you know, get your fantasy season rolling. It's going to be great, man. Football is back, baby.
Yeah. Now, the last injury report that I saw of the Ravens, I mean, knock on some wood here, relatively healthy. There's only two guys that did not participate. Hayden Hurst was one of them that we knew that going forward. This isn't a surprise. He had surgery a week or two ago. And then we have Willie Henry, who also did not participate.
Had the surgery, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're good with that.
I don't want to discredit Willie Henry or Hayden Hurst, but going forward, I mean, it's kind of unbelievable after the last couple of years we've had that there's only two guys missing the season opener. What are the Ravens? I mean, I feel like the Ravens are kind of prepared without having those two guys because they've known about these injuries for a couple weeks. What do you think the Ravens have done? Maybe what you've seen in the preseason leading up to this. What have they done to prepare to not have these two guys on the field?
Well, they prepared just like any other team does. And I feel like what they've done is, you know, I really hate to always go to the next man up guy mentality and always like that. I mean, that's just cliche. But I really think that they know where these guys stand as far as their injuries, where their timetable is for return. And I felt like they groomed to Nick Boyle. Mark Andrews has been involved in the offense. And I think with really Henry at defensive tackle, I really feel feel there's some shuffling there, because with the defensive tackle on the line, I really feel it's going to get shuffled around a little bit. And if I'm actually pulling up their actual final and unofficial depth chart here, because I kind of want to talk about a few players that might be in Willie Henry's spot. Willie Henry, remember, he was listed behind Brandon Williams. That's right. Position. So obviously, if we want to spell some guys here and keep them fresh, which I think is Martindale's approach being the defensive coordinator, I mean, you have Mike Pierce on tackle and Brent Urban at his end. The depth chart looks like this. You got Zach Seiler, Chris Wormley, and Patrick Ricard. Patrick Ricard's listed third on the depth chart as defensive tackle, which is defensive tackle slash fullback, as you know.
Right. So, he played mostly offense last year,
which
right?
was awesome. And, yeah. and I'm happy to see him on the team, and he's versatile.
Right.
I've even think I've seen him on special teams. I think he's an all-around versatile player, which I love. You always got to be like have a few players on your roster in the NFL. Excuse me, but I feel like with him up and coming, because he's such involved in roles, this is where I want to hone in on. I don't know if Ricard's going to be in the mix there, because he's such heavy used all across the board
right.
on defense, offense, special teams. So it's going to be interesting. Do they pull Wormley or Seiler over? They mix it around? That's going to be the intriguing part on defense, because we already know we're getting a linebacker core. Nothing really needs to be said there. But the secondary, you know, looking at that right now as a starting, I did call. I wanted Tavon over, but Tavon's listed behind Humphrey. But remember, I said I wanted Humphrey Tavon.
Right.
It's going to be Humphrey Carr. I mean, I can't really squawk about that, because I mean, I feel like right now they're going to put the best guys forward to play out there. But with and keep in mind that Martindale is going to keep moving guys out, and I think I've seen that in the preseason.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a preseason scheme to keep guys fresh and get the starters out, but I've saw that a lot where they were subbing players in and out, and they were just keeping the same players there for the whole series, and I hope that bodes well in the regular season.
Now, look into your crystal ball here. I mean, before the first game starts, with Jimmy Smith out, Marlon Humphrey's probably going to be the starter in his spot. Will Marlon Humphrey be a starter for all 16 games?
Yes.
You think so?
Yep.
Even when Jimmy Smith comes back?
Yes.
How come?
They're going to move Brandon Carr out of that spot, and they're going to put Jimmy and Marlon.
Really? Okay.
Unless... I say it is very, very tongue-in-cheek, but unless Brandon Carr does well, exceptionally well,
yeah.
they're going to keep on there starting with a Jimmy Smith. But I really love to see Marlon Humphrey take it. I mean, he did it last year.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Tavon Young. We missed Tavon Young all of last year. He got hurt in OTAs, was out the entire season. I am super excited to see him come back to this team. What does he bring to this team that was maybe missing last year?
Well, he brings his dynamic playmaking ability. I really miss some of the plays that he used to make when he got hurt, and I've seen it in the preseason. He brings a young, fresh approach and that youth movement. We have a great nucleus of veterans, but also some young players, some freshmen, sophomores here, rookies and sophomores. So I feel like with Young, he's going to provide that breath of fresh air that we need. And I really think he's a dynamic player. And you know, I'm not sitting there bowing down to him as far as and putting them on the Pro Bowl list or an All-Pro, but he has all the potential in the world, and I'm excited to see him play.
Absolutely. Now, the Ravens, they're going to be up against Nathan Peterman as
Who?
The Bills' QB.
Who?
How excited do you think the Ravens' defense was to hear that?
Very excited. As also excited for if we want to talk in the fantasy realm, that the Ravens' defense is actually the number one rated defense this weekend. Because they do have the Bills at home. And I just heard that before coming in here, before we did the podcast, that a lot of the fantasy guys were saying, you know, how excited must you be being on the bottom of Ravens defense? You wake up, you have the home opener, the first game of the year, and you get to play at home, okay, in front of your fans. They're all fired up. It's game number one. Here to go. And you get the lowly Bills, who are just anemic right now with offense, and Nathan Peterman. Ravens got to be licking their chops. Suggs, everybody,
right.
Weddle, they all got to be, you know what, we need to throttle these guys early and often. And the Ravens it did well in the preseason as far as pressures and as far as takeaways. I know first, second, third, and even fourth stringers, and add fifth and stringers if you want to, if there's even a line for them. But the Ravens cumulatively have led in the preseason in turnovers and pressures and sacks, so they were up there in the top. So if they continue that on the first team, which there were several occasions, more than one, not just one drive, but there was more than several occasions to where the first team defense just proved absolutely exceptionally well. And I feel like if they can get pressure on Nate Peterman at the right time and force those turnovers, I think the Ravens are in for a multiple interception game and a big, probably a cumulative, maybe a 7-8 sack performance by the Ravens defense. I feel like this could be one of those statement games where the defense just dominates. Maybe they give up 7-10 points. Ravens might score 17-20 on offense with a defensive score, maybe.
Right.
And I feel like they just clamber down. And I feel like if they can really play four strong quarters and not really get that lead and then play that prevent, I feel like if they get into this position again to where if the game's on the line, who knows against the Bills. I mean, and with the Ravens, I tread lightly. We always do because we never know what game we're going to get.
Sure.
But I feel like at this point, like last year, how many times I've always – and everybody said, why you torture yourself and watching that play? But I tell you time and time again, if it's 4th and 12, and I talked about this to several Ravens fans in my work, if it's 4th and 12, I'm not sitting back in a soft zone like that and daring you to throw at me with like six defensive backs. I don't know who they have personnel-wise. I'm sending eight in the box, and I'm sending all eight out of 11 players, and I'm daring you. You got 3 seconds to throw the ball. If not, you're getting sacked, and we win the game.
Yeah.
I want to see that killer instinct with the defense. Like, if it happens on Sunday, and Ravens are up 17 in the fourth quarter, and the Bills are trying to drive, and they're past midfield, and here comes Nate Peterman throwing screen passes to McCoy, and Benjamin caught a kick, and then they just, boom, they shut the door. Pick six, sack, fumble, the place is rocking, then the Ravens close it out on offense and go down, maybe kick a field goal, maybe just get that 7 points and just shut the door.
Yeah.
That's the killer instinct that I want to see the Ravens come out. And the Ravens want to prove not only to the media and the fans out there who, are hot on the higher side of things, saying they can go far. They're up there with the elite in the AFC. They can take down a Patriots team, or a lot of teams are talking that they're not going to finish 7-9, 6-10. They're going to be on the other side. I feel like this is the statement game. You want to prove it right out of gate. Beat the Bills 30-10 with a strong defensive performance. Joe Flacco go out there. I'm not saying have a perfect QBR rating and all that and go out there and throw no picks and then the defense. You're going to have a flawless game sometimes.
Sure.
I mean, they did it a few years back where it was like they came out gangbusters. Like, what happened? Like 2 weeks ago, they couldn't get out there and win
against the Bengals.
Exactly.
Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. And then how many times they did that against, like, remember the Broncos game in the 2012 Super Bowl year?
Yeah.
They come out. They that coin flips Flacco-ing, he throws the pick six, and then all of a sudden they go out against the Giants and win the division, and it was like a near perfect game on both sides of the ball, and it was just like, are you kidding me right now? So I feel like if the Ravens really need to come gangbusters and have and starting with the top that we're healthy. We know what Hurst's situation is. We know William Henry's situation. It wasn't like, oh, somebody blew out a knee or tore ACL. These guys will be back.
Right.
And that's what –
it's not season-ending.
Exactly, and that's what's exciting. Now, these guys will be back, but precautionary. Hurst is a little more concerning because it's that foot, and it's a foot fracture. So it's like, obviously, that's one of your, vital things to use as a tight end, your feet. You got to move, cut, and all that. So
yeah.
I trade lately with more Hurst, an abdomen or hernia and abdomen surgery, you can really quickly recover from that. It's an outpatient surgery. You can get over that in a week. I've seen people do it at work, and then they're back. I mean, obviously, they're not playing football at work, but, they're back on their feet. They're fine. So I think with Willie Henry, it's more just recovery, making sure it doesn't, heal himself correctly and doesn't tear it.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be back in a couple weeks. The timetable, I haven't really seen if he's going to be back in a week, 2 week, 3 week span, but I feel like when the doctors say he's clear, but I think we have enough depth on defense to get through with Willie Henry.
Sure.
I love it to see him back. He's one of my favorite Ravens players under the radar, not talking about the stars. And Willie Henry and Mike Pierce has actually formed his own in starting. He used to be in that position where he was, not often talked about, and then all of a sudden, where did Mike Pierce come from? Mike Pierce is another favorite of mine. The defense is going to be firing, but me, I'm a defensive guy. I love the defense.
Yeah.
It's what we're known here in Baltimore, but we have a lot of newness on offense right now. And how about Flacco recovering a year from the surgery? He's looked good in everything. He doesn't have the brace, and I think that's another big factor. You have Alex Collins, who's going to be the workhorse bell cow for carrying the ball. You already know what you're going to get there. He's going to work hard, run hard, and I feel like the Ravens want to really prove it. If they're up late, they're going to have to churn those first downs and run the football like they used to do with give Jamal the ball. Remember that mantra back in the day where the defense did their job, offense score what they need to, and it was eat that clock in the fourth quarter, you know, run, run, pass, or pass, run, run, for it, whatever combo they did it.
Yeah.
But with Joe's rapport with the new receivers, with John Brown having a great preseason, Crabtree, we already know we're going to get something there. Snead is the big, big question mark because in that slot, I really haven't seen much out of him, not only in preseason, but in training camp. It's been more Brown and Crabtree making the plays. The rookies have been up and down lately. I mean, we already know Scott's on the IR, but we know Jordan Lasley made the team. And we know Chris Moore can make some plays. He's done it in the preseason game. So I feel like if this receiving core can just stay healthy, and because Snead's got the injury bug typical in his career, so is John Brown. John Brown's a big concern. Crabtree's never really been hurt, so I feel like he's going to be durable for us, and Alex Collins are going to be the workhorses.
That's my big worry with this offense. Yeah, the wide receiver core is stacked. I'm not worried about talent there.
No.
You know, when Perryman was our number one guy and we had Mike Wallace, I was pretty worried about the talent that we had there. Mike Wallace, he's a good wide receiver, but I feel like we kind of missed his best years. You know, he didn't have his greatest play in Baltimore. But Joe Flacco's healthy. Joe Flacco's confident. Here's the other thing that I think is going to be a huge factor for this offense. Marshall Yanda's back.
Yes, the line.
That's huge, because
and Alex
Joe,
Lewis too.
Yes, yeah.
Big. Both of them names.
Now Joe, you could tell after that knee a couple years ago, he was scared to get hit.
Well, he can thank his buddy Hurst on the line for that, who he re-signed.
Yeah. But you could tell after that happened, his mindset changed. He didn't want to get hit.
Gun shy.
He didn't want to hit the ground. He was worried about that knee. I like you said, the knee brace is gone, so I think it's not going to. You know, he's literally not going to feel it. But the fact that Marshall Yanda is going to be back on this field protecting him as well, I think that's going to be huge for his confidence.
It's huge for confidence, but remember Phillip Rivers also had an injury, and Phillip Rivers was on record saying it takes a full year to really recover from something like that. And Joe got hurt, almost end
December,
of late year?
Right?
Yeah, it was end of the late year. They were really out of it, so everybody was like, why is Joe out there? Dude, we could be 1-15 in the season. Joe's still going to start every game.
Yeah.
I mean, just because we're going to lose, it ain't like baseball where here the Orioles, they're so out of it, do you shut down the veterans? No. You know, you go out there, roll them out, play. You pay them for a certain reason. You're not going to pay a Super Bowl winning quarterback what he's worth and then go, okay, well, we're 8 games out of first place and it's week 12, whatever, and we suck. We've only won 3 or 4 games. Let's just sit Joe Flacco and let Lamar Jackson. That's not going to happen. And this whole mantra about, what if Flacco? Because I hear a lot of pundits. Well, Flacco's going to start out the gate 1-2, and then they're going to call for a quarterback change, and Lamar's going to come in weeks 5 or 6. No, it ain't going to happen. And I feel like with the Ravens, I don't think they're going to utilize Lamar at all.
Really?
I see this why. Because I feel like the gimmicks only work ever so often. And again, I knew the Philly special was a great play in the Super Bowl when it worked, because they weren't expecting it at that point. But really, you're going to fool an NFL defense by lining your rookie quarterback out there on a wideout. I mean, and everybody says, well, Josh, Brandon, remember Flacco's rookie year? I think it was where they had that gimmick play and Troy Smith was out there, and then Flacco caught the ball. It was against the Raiders, I believe. And I'm like, yeah, and then they did against the Bengals. You know, he ran up sideline. So I'm like, yeah, but how many times does trickery really work? I mean,
right.
We've always outsmarted ourselves. Most notably, we tried against the Steelers and we were within 1 yard of it working in the Super Bowl 47. Remember, we had that fake field goal, was at a perfect time, but it was so much yards away, and Justin Tucker was 1 yard away from getting the first and goal for us, and we turned over and down. So, and if you look at the Super Bowl, how we almost lost it, those 3 points were vital, because I'm like, dude, we were up five at that time,
right,
with the whole fourth down stand. So we know how that played out. So it's like points are premium. When you're in the red zone and field goal range, don't do that. Like I said, I've seen it in the preseason, and I think they went for it on like fourth down, and they got the first down and won the home games. I think it was the most recent one against the Redskins. And it was Lamar. It might have been Lamar. Lamar Jackson, I think, was leading the team, and they went for it. But when you had the lead, you have your opponent, and you're in their territory, maybe on their 40, and you're just out of field goal range, but you don't feel like punting it. I feel like that's the opportunity to do a trick play in the middle field, or if you have the game in hand and it's the third quarter and you're up 25 points, you know, and you know the offense isn't going to do nothing on the other side. I mean, no lead safe. We've seen it. You know, just look at the Falcons Super Bowl. I mean, no lead safe. I mean, we've seen it with the Ravens Vikings, but I feel like I think the gimmick plays, you know, getting back to the point here, gimmick plays, I feel like they're over in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They work very, very, very seldomly, and when they do, they're executed perfectly. They got to be executed perfectly at the right time where it's a chess match. Football and that play and X's and O's, it's a chess match. Doug Peterson and Nick Foles, Nick Foles called that play, and Doug okayed it, and Matt Patricia's defense wasn't ready for it in the Super Bowl. And that's why Philly special, because it was fourth down. No one expected them to run a little gimmick play like that, and they were so close in proximity to the end zone that it was executed perfectly. If you watch the play, every player did what they're supposed to do, and it went off without a hitch. But when the Ravens usually do it, it feels like it's against Steelers on like some primetime game where it's like, right. Why did you do that? And I'm like, stop it. You're not going to be lining up against the Steelers doing no gimmick play with Lamar Jackson, I'll tell you that. Now, on the other side, if they were to do it, it would be against a team way lesser than them if they're trouncing him at that point. Hey, let's see if it works. But then there, it's like, why would you really do it?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you do a trick play, it's like the Super Bowl. I think Philly, that play, it sets a precedent. And it makes you smarter because you go, you have to do it on a big game, on a big stage. Not saying in the playoffs, Brandon, but I'm just saying if it's a divisional game or if it's one to where, hey, we need this and they're not expecting it and you know it's that right time, call it or, you know, direct snap it to Justin Tucker and have him working on passes in practice, and maybe he can throw it to a Patrick Ricard who just ends up as a tight end position on the special teams and goes in the flat for 2 yards and we catch it. I mean, and that's why I feel like don't put Lamar in that position. He's a quarterback. Let him thrive in that. I think it's fun to see as the fans like, oh, we did a trick play. It works. It's fun for fanfare, but
sure.
It doesn't impress me, man. It's the NFL, and I hate it when, like, running backs pitter patter in backfield and look for lanes. Run north and south. Just take the ball and run forward. I'm going to run through you. Not right. You try to dance around a moving target, you're going to get tackled. And I've seen it on the preseason where I think Buck Allen was doing that. And I'm like, dude, just run. He was trying to look for. You can't slow down, you know. And that's why I'm like, I feel like if the Ravens just keep it simple and don't get ahead of themselves, don't do this stuff on second and goal. Don't bring Lamar out there and think we're going to fool somebody. Don't bring RG3 out there thinking we're going to fool. Really, I mean, this isn't college. This isn't high school. NFL defenses are smart. They're smart out there, and they're fast. Don't do that. Don't put Jackson out there wide where he can get slammed and then get hurt. And then imagine the show and the fan base we have to deal with then.
Right.
So just saying, let's temper it a little bit, and that's my take on it.
I think there's two ways that they're going to use Lamar Jackson this Sunday.
Just two?
I think there's only two ways.
Two more than what I want. Go ahead. I'm a little scared. What's up?
The first one is if the Ravens are just obliterating the Bills, and there's no reason
and
for
Joe to be
out
there. And they can have fun
anymore.
With it.
Yeah. Then you put Lamar out there. But the other one that might actually come into like a bigger factor early on in the game is the forecast for Sunday. It's looking like it could be potential downpours. It could be raining here.
I'm good with that. Football weather.
Sure.
Plus, it'll cool me off.
I mean, hopefully it'll cool off something. I mean, it is unbelievable outside right
now.
Yeah,
I don't like these early season games sometimes because it's like middle of July. Can't stand it.
And but if it's raining, I don't see them potentially throwing the ball as much.
Mm-mm.
So they'll bring in Lamar maybe to run a little bit more, pass it off to Alex Collins to do a trick play, something like that.
Dare I say Wildcat? I don't want to go there. It's faded.
No, I don't want to do
that worked
either.
Like 2 weeks
right.
in the NFL, and it was over.
But that's what I think we might see Lamar in if they want to limit how much time the ball is in the air. They want to run it a little bit more. They want to do stuff on the ground. Then we might see Lamar a little bit more than that.
So speaking of that, because we already know the biggest, baddest, dangerous weapon that Buffalo has in its new secret is McCoy.
Right.
Both pass catching and running, he's versatile. If it's a rainy game like that, it's almost like, okay, well, you got to stop him and maybe you win. Because you think Nate Peterman, if it's a pouring down monsoon on Sunday all day or what, I mean, it's been crazy here where it's like there's been floods and everywhere. It's like who knows what Baltimore weather might bring.
Yeah.
If it's like that, do you think the Bills are going to trust Nate Peterman to be throwing the ball to Calvin Benjamin and Zay Jones and Charles Clay and these guys in a pouring rain? No, they're going to trust, hand it to McCoy, send the receiver deep and dump it off. They're going to be playing that old Baltimore offense. Like, oh, just send everybody deep, just dump it off and hit your tight end and run it back. And
right.
And for fantasy owners, including myself, as I have them, it'll be great when McCoy's got 10 receptions in a PPR league.
Right.
You're going to be like, oh, great, keep doing that all day, Nate. But but I feel like that's where it's going to be won and lost. It's going to be on the lines, and the running game is going to be key if it's raining. If it's not, the passing game is going to be the focal point, because it's going to be have to mix match. And I feel like, yeah, we want to see Joe open up. We want to see offense open up. But the Ravens can keep conservative, and plus it bodes well in the Ravens' favor because they're good at run stopping. If the line does what it does, they can get back in the backfield, be disruptive. They're going to shut down the run. If they force Nate, if it's third and long, they're going to feast all day long if it's pouring rain.
Now, Joe didn't play in games 3 or 4. Technically, it was 4 and 5 for the Ravens for this preseason, if you're counting the Hall of Fame game. The last 2 games of the preseason, Joe did not play at all. He was on the sideline the entire time. Now, does that hurt his ability to work with the 3 new wide receivers? I mean, they looked good when Joe was on the field with them, but it did, you know, limit his playing time with them because he didn't play in the last 2 games. We saw him not play at all in the training or in training camp last year. We kind of saw what happened. You could tell him and Macklin never got on the same page. Could that have just been Macklin wasn't, you know, up to snuff to the Ravens offense? You know, I don't know. But Joe didn't get a lot of time with Snead and Brown and Crabtree. When he was on the field, he looked great. But the fact that it was limited, do you think that's going to affect their ability to play together at all?
Yeah, it's definitely going to affect it because you need to build that rapport. And I think that with Macklin's problem, not only with the injuries, but he just didn't get with the right foot. He had that one game, it was great. Caught a touchdown over the middle. I'm like, Macklin's here, man, baby, here we go. Landed a great pickup, and then just never heard from him again. And then he couldn't stay healthy for one. Back in the square one there. So, and I feel like if these receivers can carry over what they did in training camp with Joe and build that rapport, there's trust there. How many times did I see on that opening drive in that first preseason game where Joe just threw it up?
Yeah.
And Crabtree made a play. John Brown really didn't make plays in the preseason.
I mean, he had a great touchdown from Joe. That was
the only one. Yeah, and that was great in the Colts game. But other than that, like, I just haven't seen him much in the field. It was more of Crabtree and Chris Moore featured.
Right.
So that's what I'm like, well, I can't wait to see. Maybe he'll be sneaky in the red zone. But he had a great toe-tapping touchdown in the back of the end zone in Indianapolis, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So that makes you a lot of confidence there because you're seeing the plays made like that. I'm like, how smart is that? And then you wonder why, I know we're going to cover it at some point, but you wonder why Perryman's not on the team no more. It's just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, dude, catch the ball, concentrate, get both feet down. It's the fundamentals.
Right.
And you wonder why we signed a John Brown and let a Perryman go, who's a first-round pick. And I think Adam Schefter said this on Twitter. I think the Ravens were probably, I don't know if they were the first one to do, but I think they were the first franchise to let go and release their first-round draft pick without like re-signing him or still in his rookie deal, I think
right,
it was.
Yeah.
So, but when you suck, you suck. When you're not performing, and showing the door. And I even did not bark about that during that preseason game where that ball was thrown up. Did you see it? I mean, I don't know if you were at the beach at the time during the game, but I was like, the ball was thrown up right at the goal line, and Perryman just stopped. And I'm like, I stole that by my seat, and I'm like, Woody, and I knew it. What are you doing? And it was an interception. Obviously, got called back because of a penalty, so it was lucky for the Ravens. But the defender played the ball better than Perryman did.
Right.
And then you wonder why we're going with a Crabtree, a Snead, and a Brown, and a Chris Moore, because these guys understand the game and they're making the plays.
Yeah.
Now, Perryman, I wish him the best. He had a great attitude about things. Just couldn't perform, man. You have one job. You're a wide receiver. Do wide receivery things. Why don't you watch the ball in your hand? Why don't you catch it with your hands? Why don't you make plays? Attack the ball. I think I lost my voice. I was close to losing my voice for the first time in a preseason game because I was just beside myself. I'm like, I was nutty. I was like, I snapped. I was like, he doesn't attack the ball. I was like, I'm sorry. If I had one, I don't even care if it was for free. I would gladly strap on his pads and the shoulder pads and helmet and go out there. I don't even care if I got decked. At least I'm going to go attack the ball and show you when that ball's in the air, I'm going to jump up and try to make a play at it. Not just watch it, not die. Ooh, I'm going to get hit. I don't know what his problem is. And this is why I'm confident in the receiving core, because I feel like a Crabtree is going to attack the ball. A John Brown's going to snatch that ball and attack both feet. And what makes me even excited is we already know that we've had some great veterans who came through here in free agents and trades. You know, Derek Mason, Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin. And Anquan's going to be the he's going to be at the game as far as a legend of the game, which is great. And that's why I feel like if you watched him in the playoff runs and in that year, it's he did that. He went up, attacked the ball, got both feet down. Now I'm not saying, you know, obviously I'm, all the names I just mentioned, you know, maybe even throw Derek Mason. I'm not sure if he's a Hall of Famer. I know Steve Smith and Anquan are. These guys. They did their jobs well. They attacked the ball. They made the plays. They did the fundamentals. And it's like, this is what makes me excited. I'm not, when we say Joe's got new weapons and new toys, it's great, but it's just not all that. I'm not saying they have like the best receivers in the division. Obviously, we don't. I think we have the fourth best, being that what we see on paper. You see a Brown and Juju on Pittsburgh. They got James Washington, a dynamic rookie who could be up and coming. John Ross, AJ Green in Cincinnati. Cleveland, man. Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry. I mean, the Ravens right now have the fourth best receiving corps in the division. Fourth.
Yeah.
Four out of four. Fourth out of the four teams. And on paper. Now, once you start playing the games and putting it together, maybe they'll be in first, maybe they'll have second place coming throughout the year. But you got to play the games. And it all depends on who's throwing to them. You know, you got Tyrod and company over there in Cleveland. You got Ben, and you got AJ Green's got Andy Dalton. So John Ross. So I feel like if you want to prove it, be consistent every week.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying these guys are great. These guys are gonna blow us away, and Crabtree's gonna have an amazing year, and they're all gonna go to Pro Bowl 1,000-yard seasons. But if the Ravens just keep it smart, get back to the fundamentals, and Marty himself impressed me this preseason, calling the right plays at the right time. How many times it was like third and like two, and he called this like nice play where he would send everybody deep, and he had Nick Boyle come out of the backfield, dump off, and Nick Boyle ran like 10 yards off the field and was like wide open in front of him. I'm like, why can't we do that in regular season? It seems like when it counts, it's like me playing golf, man. It's like driving range, I can whack him. I get on that first tee, and when it starts counting, and I'm a duff it in the woods, and I'm like, but why didn't I just do that on the? I just did it like 10 minutes ago on the tee box and drive, because I think it's just in a lot of times is it gets in these players. It's real, and they get all like they overthink or they get in the moment. It's,
yeah,
keep it simple. Third and two, run it with Collins. Don't be lining up in shotgun trying to flip it or dip it around the back air. Just run it, and I feel like that's what I feel is excited with the gameplay. If they keep it simple, they're going to trounce the Bills. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm
me
wound
too.
Up, man. I can't wait.
My only worry, and that this is for the full season, not just against the Bills, is the fact that, yes, we do have this new wide receiver core. I like them. I think they've got a lot of talent. My worry is, can they stay healthy? John Brown has been known to have a lot of injuries. Willie Snead's coming off injuries. So that's a big problem for me. And then it's weird that they did let Perryman go, and they did put Tim White on the practice squad.
Yep.
I'm shocked that they didn't keep somebody on the, you know, the 53-man roster in case one of these other wide receivers goes down. Now, if one of them does, Tim White can easily just go practice squad to the main squad. Not a big deal.
Right.
But it's odd that the guys that we were kind of talking about battling it out for that last spot, neither of them are on this 53-man roster.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Which is...
And it's funny also, Perryman's been working out with like the Jets, and he's been working out with the Bills. It would kind of be interesting to see if he signs in the next couple days.
He's moving his way through the AFC East.
Yeah.
Maybe but the Patriots are next.
He comes right back to Baltimore, and he's up against the Ravens defense. Man, that would be quite the show.
But if they were to sign him, it would have happened already. I mean, we're Thursday, Friday Eve right now, 2 days before the game. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, poor Palatum, if you can get the workouts and get – on another team, I wish him well. I'm not saying they're going to bash the guy, but
you gotta
do your job. And I think because of his price tag was so high, I feel like if he was a fourth or fifth round pick, we wouldn't care.
Yeah, I mean,
but when you're a first round pick, we picked him what, mid-teens? I have to go online. I forget what.
I think he was 17.
No, he was in the teens.
Was he in the teens?
So you're saying that you were the, let's say even for the sake of conversation, we picked him 20th. You were the 20th best NFL player that we thought out of 200 some. And he didn't pan out. And that's why the whole Correa situation was a big deal, because he had a second-round tender on him.
Right.
When you pick them, that's your second pick. What are you, 30th, 40th best player in the NFL at that point, at that draft. Not in the NFL, but that draft. So that's why I feel like when these players are picked at first, second, third rounds and they don't pan out, it's a big deal around here, you know. And it happens against all teams. I mean, how many, I can go through bus after bus. I can go through all 31 teams, 32 including the Ravens, of the first and second round picks that didn't, you know, didn't work out. And how many times you got to cover it? It's the same thing when you sit there and draft in fantasy every year. It's,
sure.
It's you have all this value, and then you draft the player, and then all of a sudden you could have had all this value, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, nah. And then it's like, it's just, it goes on and on and on. But I feel like the Ravens have the right players. I feel like to get them there. Yeah, it's a playoff or bust season. And I feel like just looking at it, I mean, we'll sit there and break it down, you know, for you. But I feel like the Ravens' floor right now is 9-7 again.
Mm-hmm.
Their ceiling could be 11-5. So I feel
it's
like
it's a rough schedule for this.
But it is. And looking at it, how it starts with, you know, another three division games. And what's weird is, what's awesome and weird at the same time is this Thursday night game after this, because we have, you know, game right after that.
Right.
So we're going to have to get on it quick at the, you know, the Red Eye Review and Purple Friday preview. But looking at it, it's, usually those Thursday night games are, you know, they're home and home. Like, we start home on Sunday and then it's Thursday. But now we got to travel to Cincinnati in week two. But also, what's awesome this week, we could be sitting at 2-0 with a revenge factor tour, because remember, the Bills got in, and yeah, they didn't win in the playoffs, but they got in on our accord because we couldn't stop Cincinnati.
That's right.
So if we can beat the Bills and then go to Cincinnati and get revenge on them, we could do a 2-0 start to the season on revenge tour from 2017. I love it.
I like that too.
And I really can't wait to get it going, man. It's going to be awesome. What are your predictions for Sunday?
Sunday. Let's see. I think the Ravens are going to come out guns a-blazing. I think they're going to have the crowd behind them. Everyone's going to be going nuts. I think that the Ravens are going to be able to win. They're going to beat Buffalo. I want to say 27-10.
I like it. I like it. 27-10 Ravens.
Yeah. What about you?
If it's going to, it's almost like, again, the score dictates the weather. I think if it's raining, it's going to be a low-scoring affair. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but it's going to be a low-scoring affair. I'm going to say 17-7 if it's raining, Ravens.
Okay.
I say they just get a lonely touchdown late. I say we're shutting them out late until they get a garbage time. Touchdown 17-7. If it's sunny and no rain, Ravens rain on off, but it's good weather for us, I'm feeling a 24-13.
Okay.
Slightly different than yours.
Yeah.
24-13. The Ravens are 7-point favorites, which scares me, because every time we're like a touchdown or more, I either say we're going to win by two or lose by five. It's one of those weird things.
Yeah.
If the Ravens are favored by 2.5 or three, we usually trounce them. But the 7-point favorites, I mean, again, it bodes well for the defense at home opener. On paper, we're leaps and bounds better than they are, but again, we got to play the games.
Now, that was a 3-point difference. So what I said, 27, you said 24. Are you worried at all because Tucker has missed 50 yarders in preseason?
Not worried.
No, not at all.
Nah, not worried.
Just having off days, you think?
Could be.
All right.
I mean, he's human.
Yeah.
But he did. I was there for a 61-yarder, so we know what he can do. But it was years ago.
Right.
And his legs could get miles on him pretty quick. But no, he's still top. He's still a top 2, top 3 kicker in the NFL right now.
You think best of all time?
When it's all said and done, I don't know, man. You got Vinatieri.
Top 3. Definitely top 3?
Top 3.
All right.
I mean, yeah, top 3, top 5. Not all time. Maybe this era, because, I mean, you have some greats. You got Morgan Anderson. You got Matt Stover previous. And
sure.
We can go to a whole who's the best kicker discussion. But, no, he's up there. But, dude, Vinatieri with his history, dude, no way. Yeah, Vinatieri takes it.
All right. Anything else we should cover in this Purple Friday preview?
Man, we got down to business. I'm excited. I just can't wait. But, I'm going to give a hearty and healthy quote the Raven, nevermore. Let's get it on game day, baby.
Well, you know what? The Ravens slogan, very different this year than what you say.
Right.
It's always more, never less.
I like it. Did you see the new wallpaper with Suggs saying that?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Now, you see, I got to go to a 7-Eleven early in the morning, earlier this week. Got to see some of the cheerleaders, Poe. They were handing out yard signs that say always more, never less, posters, window clings, everything you could think of. If you're in Maryland, go to the 7-Eleven. They have a Ravens Slurpee.
I have not seen that. I don't Raven know why Slurpee, I have not.
Ravens cups. You can collect all seven Raven straws, and they have a big po head like above the Tostito chips and stuff by the Slurpee machine. So, got to check that out if you're local.
And there's a game day giveaway, Ravens flags.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
That's cool.
Yep. Now, I don't know if they're car flag. I think they're car. I don't know if they're bringing back the car flags again. You know, back in the day, but it said Ravens flags as the giveaway for the home opener.
Very cool. Now, if you are going to the game, like we said, Anquan Boldin will be there. He's going to be honored as the legend of the game, so be always good to see Anquan Boldin back in back with the Ravens.
We're going
to
hear the echo. Q. Let's get it going.
And such a huge piece of history. I mean, remember, he got the touchdown in the Super Bowl. He looks down. I forget who it was. It was a 49er on the ground. He just kind of looks down, points, big smile on his face, like... It's a big part of Ravens history right there.
Oh, yeah, man. A huge part of our history. And it's going to be one of the greats, man. And what a great time it was to have him here. And I can't wait to see him on the sidelines and carrying that infamous purple torch for the legend of the game and leading us on right in the pregames, right on to the kickoff.
That's right. So if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is go over to Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. I am at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people follow you at?
Always at ingq52.
So go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, Josh has Josh will be posting as well the fantasy. If you guys play fantasy, there's going to be a new blog post going up within the next couple days. So you'll get to check that out over on our Facebook page. If you got any questions at all, Josh is usually the guy that'll talk your ear off, like I said, about everything on Facebook. I mean, any
now
kind
of
question.
Now we got Corey edition, so it's great.
That's right. My phone has been blowing up with the correspondence that's been going on. I don't know.
It's great, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What do you want to see?
I'm not complaining.
Shut my phone down in the notifications. Let's go. Make me turn them off. Well, no, I got to keep them on. So I got to keep a footprint on this.
That's
thing.
Right. I'm not complaining at all, but it is wild just seeing people go back and forth about it. I mean, fantasy is a huge deal for so many people. So that's really cool. So go over to our Facebook page. Like us over there. And then when a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Now, we do the show for free. We've done it 200 times. You guys have listened 200 times, hopefully, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch. Anywhere you are social on the web with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. That's pretty much it for the show this week for the 200th time. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
For the 200th time and 200 more, Brandon, thank you so much for all you do. Welcome to the 2018 season on The Call. It's going to pop off Sunday, whether it's rain or shine, but I tell you what, tailgate lot's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Can't wait to see everybody. I've been talking to everybody about tailgate plans to see. Just can't wait to get after it. It's going to mean something on Sunday if we can really take it to the Bills and take it in a 1-0 spot. And, hey, who knows, man? We got two games in 4 days, so it's a quick turnaround. But we got to take care of the Bills, not looking ahead. Let's take this one game at a time for 16 games in 17 weeks. Let's get it going, man. The Bills can't say much. They got one dynamic player in LeSean McCoy. We know what they're going to bring. Let's key in on him and take down the Bills. Get an AFC win, get a quality win at home. Take care of home cooking in front of the fans, rain or shine. It's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to say Hayes in the Barn along with Jerry Sandusky along, and I can't wait to have that great breakdown of the win. How's that sound, man?
I think that sounds wonderful.
Let's do it. You guys ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? Let's bring it home. Let's bring a win home on Sunday. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high against these Bills.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.